This is episode 12, the one with the dozen lasagnas with Halden Morris. Hey guys, and welcome to I Have No Friends. I'm your host, Leandra Ryan, and each week I'll be taking you through an episode of Friends while providing comedic commentary through the eyes of the modern millennial female. Before I intro my guest today, I do have an announcement that I would like to share with you guys. I'm actually going to be on The Blacklist this Friday, October 11th. So definitely check that out if you want to see me act and want to see me be more dramatic, maybe, than I am here. Halden's telling me to tell you the time, and I'm not entirely sure what the time is because, you know, check your local listings. It's on NBC. NBC, yes. The Blacklist, NBC, October 11th. I'm in a few scenes. It's fun stuff. So check that out if you're interested. I would now like to intro my guest. He is a fashion and portrait photographer, Halden Morris. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. From what I understand, this was the first episode of Friends that you've ever seen.
This is officially the first full episode of Friends I've ever watched, and I'm sure people are going to scream at me.
No, it's I like having a fresh perspective.
Well, it was fresh.
Yeah. What are your like initial thoughts? Is there anything you're dying to say?
I guess the first thing that pops into my mind, it's definitely funnier than I expected. Yeah, it was just interesting to see how young all these people were that I've kind of saw over the last, 20 years or so, even though I never watched an episode, but, you know, you see them in media and whatnot.
Yeah, they're pretty famous.
Yeah, and those are the initial two things that hit me.
So you would say that you enjoyed it?
I did enjoy it. I could actually say I would probably watch another episode, but there's so much I don't know because I think I'm jumping in. I don't even know what season this was.
This is season one, episode 12.
Oh, okay.
Very beginning, yeah.
I just feel like there's so much history that I don't know watching this episode. Like, why is he want her? And why is she pregnant? And
yeah.
Lasagna? I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, if at any point during the discussion you're confused, just let me know and I can fill in those gaps for you.
Oh, that'd be great. There's lots of gaps that need to be filled.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And that'll probably help some people listening too, because, you know, they may not. There may be newbies listening as well.
More first timers.
Yeah. The next thing I like to do is a fun fact, piece of trivia that I found out about the episode that I like to share. So apparently the only shot of the fourth wall in Central Perk, which is the coffee shop, the only shot of the fourth wall in the entire series is in this episode. When they, right before Phoebe says, Paolo, like, made a pass at me. And there's that woman who's like, can we get some cappuccino over here? That apparently is the only time that we see that fourth wall in this whole series. So I thought that was an interesting tidbit.
Were those three ladies, specific to that shot, too? Like, oh, we finally get to see cappuccino lady. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's one of the creators or something.
I do enjoy the idea that, like, what if they're always there and we just never see them ever again, mm-hmm. but they just like live there. They're just like always.
Yeah.
I love that cappuccino lady's always like silently involved.
Yeah. Coffee lizards, you know, just hanging out all day in there.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you a trivia question. Obviously, you're probably not going to know it unless it happens to be from this episode. It's from this season. It's from season one.
Okay.
And I do this to everyone. And if you don't know it, I would love for you to just like venture a guess because it's fun.
Okay, yeah.
And then we can talk about it. So
I don't know how I would know it.
Yeah. Well, you know, though, I mean, if it's from this episode, then you should know it. But otherwise,
right.
No pressure. So choose a number between 1 and 182.
13.
13. Has someone already done 13? Yes, someone already has done 13. Pick another one.
71.
71. To whom was Monica's coworker referring when she said, you know, before me, there was no snap in his turtle for 2 years?
No snap in his turtle? She was referring to the guy with the hair like that. The dumb one.
The guy with the hair like that, the dumb one. Joey?
Yeah, that guy, Joey.
Okay. Excellent guess. Incorrect. It's Paul the wine guy. So in the pilot of Friends, Paul the wine guy is this guy who Monica goes out with, and he's like, oh, I haven't been able to perform sexually in like 2 years. And it's like a line to get her into bed. And then she finds out that he said the same thing to her coworker at the restaurant.
Who's Monica?
Monica is the dark-haired one that's Ross's sister. What was she doing in this episode?
Foosball?
Yeah, the one that was good at foosball.
Oh, got it. Yeah. That's Courtney
Cox.
Courtney Cox, yes. I didn't recognize her now.
Yeah. So, good times.
Yeah.
Paul the wine guy sucks.
Paul the wine guy is slick.
Yeah. And snap in his turtle is kind of gross.
Yeah, I don't really understand. What does that mean, snapping his turtle?
I mean, it's...
Like coming out of the turtle pokes its hole out of the hole or something?
I think it's like a weird way of saying, like, can't get it up.
Oh.
Like it's an erection kind of situation.
Okay.
We're talking about erections, guys. It's very exciting.
Maybe I'll use that line one day.
Please don't. We don't need more Paul the Wine guys running around in the world.
All right. Or maybe I'll just say it to a Friends aficionado like yourself one day. See if they pick up on it.
Mm.
Just kind of say it in conversation. They'll be like...
Oh. I'd be real impressed. Yeah. It'd be like, very...
Paul the Wine guy.
Paul the Wine guy. What a dick. Okay. Great.
Oh, can we swear?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I've been holding back this
whole
time.
No, don't.
Okay, I didn't know if it's PG or G or who your listeners are. And you're like, bleep.
It's, explicit.
Got it. All right.
Is what it's called.
Well, I won't swear just to swear. It's just good to know that I can swear.
Yeah.
All right.
So, with your one episode minimum friends knowledge, which Friends character are you? Which one did you identify with most in this episode?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Well, this may sound funny, but since I used to own a foosball table, I probably would identify with Courtney Cox.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know it's a chick.
Are you good at foosball?
Oh, I'm fabulous at it.
Really?
Well, I used to race bikes, so I lived in Italy a lot, and they all play foosball over there. So I was 12 playing foosball, and then I came home. I'm like, I need a foosball table. So then I think when I was 16... I got one, and I always play my friends, but they were really no competition. Kind of like, pun friends.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm better than the average American.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
How do you say foosball in Italian?
Foosball.
Really?
Yeah, it's like German too. Foosball.
Foosball.
Yeah, foosball, which is soccer.
Foosball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Would you say that you are like Monica's very competitive in general?
Yes, I'm competitive
in general
because I used to be a cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that still runs in my blood.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. No more cycling for you.
I mean, what do you mean? Like competitively? I mean, I'm close to, you know, I'm older now.
I think you're my first non-millennial on this show.
What's a millennial? How old do you have to be?
I don't know like the exact, I think right now millennials are like 20 to like 35,
oh,
something like that.
Oh, then I'm not a millennial. I mean, I'm right at the, I mean, I get not at the cusp, but yeah.
Maybe it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like 37 or something, but I don't remember. It's like.
But I mean, I'm hip enough to know Friends. I mean, I know about it. I just didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, you know, young when the show was on.
Yeah.
Younger. Anyway.
Yes. But we all were.
Yes.
Let's get into what's happening in this episode.
Let's do it.
Sort of the different storylines that are going on. So the ones that I saw were Ross and Carol finding out the sex of their baby, and then Chandler and Joey buying the foosball table together, Paolo making a move on Phoebe. Those are like the main ones. And then there's like the random side story of like Monica just has like all these lasagnas, which was kind of interesting. So let's start with Ross and Carol. finding out that they're having a boy. So basically, because I know you don't know who these people are, Ross and Carol used to be married. She found out she was a lesbian. Susan, the other woman that was in, is like her lover. So like they, but then like they found out that she was pregnant with Ross's baby, like after all that happened. So they're sort of like gonna raise this baby like together, like the three of them. So in this episode, she finds out that the baby is happy and healthy, and she finds out the sex, but Ross doesn't want to know the sex of the baby until the baby is born. So everyone knows and everyone's finding out, and it's driving him nuts because he's the only one that doesn't know what he doesn't want to know, but he's going back and forth about that.
Yes.
And then at the end of the episode, Rachel lets it slip that he's having a boy, and obviously he's super excited because all men want boys for some reason. Any initial thoughts or comments about that whole storyline?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, so they were married?
Yeah, they
so
were married.
So do we see them get together? Do we see them get married? Do we see them get divorced? Do we see them having sex to have the baby? I mean, how quick did he knock her up? And then she's like, oh, I'm a lesbian. And then he moved away. And I mean, there's a lot of timeline stuff that I'm not.
Okay.
It just seems very fast.
Right. So in the beginning of the series, they're married, and basically immediately he finds out that she's a lesbian and that they're going to get divorced. Then after all that has happened, she's like, I'm pregnant.
Did he move out? I mean, did they live together within that same building?
Yeah, they lived together. I think she moved out probably.
Okay.
And moved in with Susan. But very quickly in like the beginning of the series, we find out that like she's pregnant and they're getting divorced and she's a lesbian. So that's sort of like the beginning of Ross's like story.
Complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why he's got that whole, you know, like coexistence relationship with Susan, you know, where he's like, oh, Carol, like so good to see you. And he's like, Susan.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, because it's taking over his spot. And but then what's the deal with him and I don't know her name.
Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel. I mean,
he's in love with Rachel.
Have they kissed? Have they fucked?
No, they haven't done anything.
Zero.
Yeah.
So he's just in love with her.
Yeah, he's been in love with her since the ninth grade. They grew up together.
Oh, so they know each other.
Yeah, they grew up together.
Oh, well, that changes a lot of things. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And you know that because they told you somewhere in an episode?
Yeah. So Ross and Monica are siblings, and they grew up in like the same town as Rachel. So they've all grown up together, the three of them.
How old is everyone supposed to be on this show?
I think in season one, I want to say like, you know, 25, like mid-20s.
Okay.
I have a clip about this. Let's listen to the clip and then we can continue.
Do we know?
We certainly do. It's going to be...
Hey, ho, ho, hello. See, a guy who doesn't want to know standing right here.
Oh. Well, is it what we thought it would be?
Mm-hmm. Hey, what did we think it was going to be? No, I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Okay, you know, I should probably just go.
Well, thanks for the books.
No problem. Okay. Mwah. Oh, mwah. Susan?
All right. Who should we call first, your folks or Deb and Rona? Hello?
Never mind. I don't want to know.
Poor Ross. He's so conflicted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a tough thing to deal with if it were really true.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would want to know.
Whether it's a boy or a girl?
Yeah.
Well, listen, he's going to find out eventually anyway.
Right.
So, you know, don't tell me now. Let it come out. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But that makes for good drama, I guess.
Yeah. I want to talk about Susan and Carol and how apparently all of their friends are lesbians.
All of them are lesbians. Like, except for Dave, whatever his name is. The father.
Yeah. I mean, he's not really like...
He doesn't count.
I don't think so. I just think it's kind of ridiculous because the moment when Ross comes in and he's like, when did you guys meet Huey Lewis? And he's like, she's like, that's our friend Tanya.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant. Like, I guess because she looks like a man.
Yes.
Got it.
Allegedly, Tanya looks like Huey Lewis.
Do we ever see Tanya?
No.
Never.
No. Although I would love to. I think that would be a delight. But we don't ever see Tanya. We don't really ever see any of their like lesbian friends. I just think it's super funny that it's implied that all of their friends are lesbians. Because then when she, in that clip, after he leaves and she's like, okay, so should we call your folks first or Deb and Rona? And I'm like, who are Deb and Rona? Like, I want to know their story.
That's right.
Because they sound super interesting.
Do we ever see their folks?
We do see Carol's, well, like way later when Carol and Susan get married, Carol's parents, like, they decide they don't want to go to the wedding. They don't like support it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't remember if we actually see them or if we just hear about that.
Got it.
So yeah, Deb and Rona, want to know more about them, want to know more about Tanya. And I also just want them to be able to have straight friends too, because lesbians have straight friends.
Yeah, they do.
You know, we don't need to put them in this like box. Okay.
Well, maybe that's what makes it funny.
Yes.
We know that lesbians don't just have lesbian friends. So right. It just makes it funny that maybe they do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the writer was a lesbian.
Maybe her name is Tanya.
Maybe. Maybe it's her middle name.
Yeah. And then also, I just want to quickly point out, which obviously people who are listening don't know this, but in the video version of that clip, they have like the worst like striped couch. It's like so hideous.
I don't think I noticed.
So the striped couch is like super hideous. And then when Chandler and Joey are in the furniture store, like all of that furniture is super hideous. I'm like, what? Where are these people shopping for furniture?
I love the birds and the bugs? Ladybugs?
Yeah. Anything else about the baby storyline?
Oh, well, I guess I'd have to watch another episode, but I'm sure they give it the boy a name.
Yes, Ben.
Ben. And why do they name it Ben? Any reason?
Yeah, they, well, all three of them are fighting about names because right. When you have three parents.
Too many dicks on the dance floor. Well, not sure. Really. It's just the same.
It's like a turtle. We could bring the turtle thing back, right, yeah. You know? So they end up, actually, while Carol's in labor, Ross and Susan end up getting locked in like a supply closet in the hospital.
Of course.
And Phoebe, like, rescues them, and she's wearing like,
Phoebe's the woman that was in the purple the cookies.
Yes,
got it.
Yeah. And so she ends up rescuing them, and she's like wearing like a onesie of like a mechanic guy or whatever, and it says Ben on it, and she's like, hi, I'm Ben. And then they're like, oh, we like that name.
Oh my Gandhi. That's funny. So that's how they get the name.
Yeah.
Do we ever see Ben?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ben's in like a ton of episodes.
No, I mean the guy's jumpsuit. That's
oh,
like
no. We don't ever meet.
I know. I'm
meet.
Digging really deep.
We don't ever meet Ben the mechanic.
Yeah. Damn it.
What is his life?
Yeah, like, exactly. You know? There's so many. I have so many mysteries in this.
So many answers we need.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about Chandler and Joey. They walk into the door with the lasagna and they put the keys on the table and the table falls over, which it's like made of tin. So of course it's going to fall over. Like this is not, you know, like a very sturdy table. And so they're like, oh, we need a new table.
Do they live together, those two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're roommates. And so they are like, what are we going to do? They decide to go in on one together. And then they go to the furniture store and they're looking at all this hideous furniture, and then they end up with a foosball table.
Love it. That's exactly what I would do.
Which I just want to say, like, now that I live in New York and you know these people live in Manhattan,
right,
you know, like, who has space for a foosball table? And they still have a breakfast bar where they can still eat their food. Like, you have a breakfast bar and a foosball table and space.
Well, I'm just curious where they live in reality is not cheap. What do they all do for a living to make the kind of money to live where they live?
That's the other thing.
There's no way they could afford that.
Right. So Chandler is like, he's got like a boring like desk job, like data entry and stuff. So he actually makes like okay money. But his roommate, Joey, is an actor who later in the series, he does find success as an actor. But at this point in the series, he's like, you know, he's like not working.
Got it.
Monica's story, where they have like the big apartment across the street where most stuff happens, that's actually her grandmother's like rent controlled apartment. So she got it that way.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I just like, I never even thought about the fact that like they just have a foosball table. But now I'm like, who has space for a foosball table in Manhattan? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Well, not only like, that, but have you ever looked up how much foosball tables cost?
Are they expensive?
Yeah.
How much are they?
They're a good one's at least $2,000. So okay. $2,000 back in
94.
That's a lot of money. Now, yeah. Maybe that one was on, you know, is a thrift shop deal. But anyway, whatever. I know I'm being totally anal about it. But
no, we gotta poke holes in this.
Yeah, so the foosball table. And first of all, if you play foosball, you're not allowed to spin. And what's her name was spinning. And that's totally faux pas. Like, like not if you play real people, you can't spin. You can only flick. So she would spin to get the score, which means the ball will go in a little harder. Which, you know, whatever. They don't care because they don't know the rules. But I'm just, as a foosball player, I'm like, no, you can't do that.
This is great. I didn't even know you were a foosball aficionado.
Well, I don't know how. I mean, more than the average, sure. But
yeah.
You
know. Foosball.
Yeah.
Foosball. I want to play this clip and then we'll continue.
Okay, so just because it was my table, I have to buy a new one?
That's the rule.
What rule? There's no rule. If anything, you owe me a table.
How'd you get there?
Well, I believe this piece of furniture was fine until your little breakfast adventure with Angela Del Vecchio.
You knew about that?
Well, let's just say the impressions you made in the butter left little to the imagination.
Okay. How about if we split it?
What do you mean? Like, buy it together?
Yeah.
You think we're ready for something like that?
Why not?
Well, it's just that it's a pretty big commitment. I mean, what if one of us wants to move out?
Why, are you moving out?
I'm not moving out.
You'd tell me if you were moving out, right?
Yes. It's just that with my last roommate, Kip.
Oh, I know all about Kip.
Just that we bought a hibachi together, and then he ran off and got married, and things got pretty ugly.
So let me ask you something. Was Kip a better roommate than me?
Oh, don't do that.
Do we ever see Kip?
We never see Kip, but we hear about Kip more. So apparently, I think from what I remember, he was Chandler's roommate in the past. He dated, I think, one of the girls in the friend group. And then when they broke up, he, you know, obviously, you know, when you break up and one person gets the friends, like he didn't get the friends.
Right. But he did find a girl and got married and moved out.
He did. Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Joey seems to be very competitive against Kip.
He has a lot of feelings about Kip.
He didn't meet Kip, though.
No, but I think he just, like, being the new roommate, like, right. He wants to be, like, the favorite roommate.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Insecure actor.
Stereotypes. Yeah, but I think this scene's funny because obviously we're, you know, Joey and Chandler do the thing really well of, like, using their roommate relationship and making it sound like it's a romantic relationship.
Yes, I noticed that. Little bromance.
Yeah, like when they're fighting in the furniture store.
Oh, I got a question for you. Do you think that those two pair off best together of all the actors on the show? Or do you think they pair up better with someone else on the show as far as the chemistry?
Like as a friendship?
Just as actors. You know, like the chemistry.
Oh, as actors.
Yeah, like who do you think they pair up best with? Those two. You were talking about their relationship, about how well the little bromance is, but I'm wondering, are they the two best together that have the most energy or...
It's hard to, because I know them so well.
I know, it's a hard question, but I'm throwing it at you.
Yeah, it's hard to, like, imagine it otherwise, because they all have such distinct personalities that, like, no matter who you pair up, it's going to be a different dynamic. Not necessarily better or worse, but I do think that they're really good as, like, bros.
Together.
Yeah.
Versus the other guy.
Yeah, Ross. Yeah, I think Ross, I mean, just has a lot going on in, like, his own you know.
He's just not as chummy. He's a little more sensitive. Yeah, and
but Ross and Chandler are actually, like, they were roommates in college. So they're, like, best friends from college.
So there's a lot of history here. He's known what's-her-name since ninth grade. They were in college. That's why they're all...
Yeah.
Got it.
That's why they're all, like, close. But Phoebe and Joey are, like, new, like, post-college friends. Like, Joey actually just, like, becomes Chandler's, like, random roommate. And that's how he comes into the group.
Who's the smartest?
Ross is considered, like, the sort of, like, nerdy one. He's, like, he's a professor of paleontology, a PhD, wow. All that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So he would probably be considered.
I know, we're going off track here. Sorry.
The smartest. No, that's okay. So they end up getting a foosball table, and then Monica's really good.
She cheats.
Not according to Halden, but
she cheats.
According to people that don't know foosball, they think that she's good.
Cheater.
And they have to kick her out. And this, I think, is kind of one of the first times, if not the first time in the series, where we start to see her competitive nature, which is, like, a really big characteristic for her. So
does that play into the whole 10 years,
mm-hmm.
her competitiveness?
Mm-hmm.
Why is she competitive? Do we find out?
Well, she's just, like, very, like, type A, like, perfectionist, just, like, one of those sort of, like, uptight characters.
Okay.
And she's competitive. Like, Ross and her are competitive, too, like, have been since they were kids.
She's smart, too?
She's smart, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I just saw lasagna.
She didn't have that much to do in this episode.
Yeah, lasagna, talking to her aunt. Do we ever see her aunt? Syl? Is that her name?
I don't know. I don't remember her.
Hmm. I guess I'll just have to watch...
You just have to
watch the whole series.
You just have to get started now.
You may have gotten me hooked.
That's my mission. I wish NBC was paying me for this. They're not.
Maybe they will someday. NBC, get on it.
Listen up, NBC.
Mm-hmm. You got a diamond in a rough here, and she's an actress.
Yes.
Aren't you on NBC?
The Blacklist is on NBC.
See, it's there. I'm telling you, it's all
Guys,
coming together.
I'm manifesting it.
Yes, NBC, NBC.
Anything else that you wanted to say about the Chandler and Joey foosball, that whole story?
I just think it's very spot on, like what two guys would do.
Mm-hmm.
Go in for one thing, get something else.
Because
I'd be like, fuck it. You know what we'll do? We'll just put a board on top of the table if we need to use it.
Yeah.
And we take it off and we got a foosball table because nobody's coming over to eat anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll just buy a piece of board. We'll put it on there. We'll throw some shitty chairs and then we'll take it off and put it in the closet. So yeah, that's totally, I like it.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to Paolo. Paolo making a move on Phoebe. Paolo and Rachel are like, it starts out with like, oh, they're getting more serious. Like they're going away for the weekend. And Rachel's super excited about it. Paolo goes in to Phoebe's massage place to get a massage by her. And then he feels her up, basically. He like puts his hands on her ass and then he like rolls over and he apparently has a very large erection, or a turtle, if you will. And she is obviously disturbed by this because hashtag me too, like fuck all of that. She tells the friends and Ross is like, you have to tell Rachel, you know, because obviously he wants them to break up for selfish reasons because he's in love with her. And so she tells Rachel and Rachel obviously gets very mad at Paolo, breaks up with him, throws his clothes off the balcony, and that's the end of Paolo.
Oh, but he does take home some lasagna.
He does take home a lasagna because Monica still has five lasagnas.
And he's Italian.
Yeah.
It's a nice parting gift.
Yeah. He says grazie, you know. Halden is on the edge of his seat. So what did you have to say about this?
Yes, I'm at the edge. Why is Paolo even in this episode? Why is this important?
So Paolo is a guy that she met earlier in the season.
Oh, so we've seen him before.
Yes. So he's on like four episodes.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. And so she has been dating him. And at first it was just like all passion. Like it was just
like in any relationship, starts off hot and heavy.
Yeah. Well, and also backstory on Rachel. The first episode is her running away from her own wedding.
Oh,
because
that's sad.
Yeah, she was gonna marry this like orthodontist who was like super safe, like,
so her whole thing is relationships option. Through the whole series, I'm assuming.
Yeah, she goes through some stuff, but she runs away from her wedding because the guy is just like, she's in one of those really boring, safe relationships where it's like, oh, like I'm going to marry a doctor and then like my life is going to be like taken care of. And like, you know, who cares if like we don't have good sex or like, and then she like freaks out and leaves.
She didn't figure this out before she got married.
Apparently not.
Hello, people. Speak up.
Yeah. So that's what she's coming from.
Got
so
it.
Then when she meets Paolo, it's like the complete opposite of that. And she just has to get this like sexual tension out of her system.
Got it.
So with him, it's like in the beginning, it's like all passion, you know, all of that. They start very quickly. But then this is, you know, sort of the first episode where she's like, this could actually become something, you know, like we're going away for the weekend. This is getting more relationship-y than, you know, than she, I think, than everyone initially expected.
And then the writers got tricky.
They got tricky?
Yeah, they threw a curveball at her.
Yeah.
No more Paolo.
No more Paolo, which is good because he is a fuckboy.
I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but he's a... They're going to stereotype him as the greasy Italian, which is,
yeah,
you know, and I can relate to the fantasy of being on a massage table, getting massage, going, oh, wouldn't this be fun? But probably not to your friend's friend.
Yeah.
Your friend's friend? Whatever.
Yeah. And I've also heard some people say, oh, well, like, because he's like ESL, like maybe he mistook the word massage, like maybe he thought that she was a prostitute.
Oh, bullshit.
Which A,
he speaks plenty good English.
Yeah. So
someone said that, or is that just someone
that's like on the internet? It's like, well, it's stupid. Like around there.
They're dumb.
Yeah. No. Because
I know what they're doing.
Yeah. And even if he did think that, A, if you're with Rachel, like why do you need a prostitute? And B, if you do feel that you need a prostitute, don't go to your friend's friend, even if you do think she's a prostitute. Like keep it out of the friend group.
Yeah, it's interesting, know? That he actually would do that. I can't really figure that out, so I'm just going to stare at the sky.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a very dumb theory, but I just wanted to dispel it while we are...
Well, I imagine, too, you have to kind of make people do things so they can write them off the show.
Right.
He died. He touched me.
Well,
whatever.
And the whole point of Paolo is to set up her relationship with Ross, because they end up getting together and they have a very tumultuous on and off years and years of like romance. And, you know, Ross is a series regular and we're supposed to think that he's this great guy and he's so perfect for her. And so I think she has to go through something like this to set up, you know, like what Joey says in this episode. He's like, you're the anti-Paolo.
Right.
Which is like Paolo's whole...
And love's been in front of her all these years and she doesn't really see it. And
yeah,
eventually, I'm assuming she does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I did not appreciate, though, in this episode, I don't like how all the guys are like, oh yeah, like get her while she's vulnerable. Like they're like, go over there right now and like usher in the age of Ross. And I'm like, how about you chill for a second and just console her as a friend and not immediately try to like get in like her pants. Like I know that he doesn't just want that, like he wants to be with her, he loves
her,
but
right.
but like you know, give her some space, man. I didn't like that. I was like, I don't like, this feels a little taking advantage of, like, to go in, like, immediately while she's still, like, broken, you know?
Yeah, it's never a good time. I mean, it's sure, it probably makes it easier in life sometimes when people are vulnerable to get that, get in the sack, sex, because I broke up with someone. But maybe they're showing us what people are really like.
I'm glad that it backfires. I'm glad that she's like, yeah, I don't want to look at another guy. And I'm like, good for you. She's like, I need some time to myself. And I'm like, yes, you do. That is healthy. And Ross is like, no, you just need to like better screening process.
Well, how much time did it elapse from her running from her marriage to this episode?
To this episode? Well, that was episode 1 and this is episode 12.
So, but how much time went by?
Well,
I thought, was it a year, 2 years, a
no,
month?
No. I think we're sort of.
That's what I want to know, because if we don't, if we know that,
I think probably like a couple of months.
A couple of months.
Like
she ran
months?
From her wedding, met Paolo, and now all this. Fuck! She needs to take a year off.
Yeah, she needs a break.
Now that's too quick.
Yeah.
You can't just run from a wedding. Okay, you can go fuck some Italian guys. That's fine.
Right.
But
that's why that's who he is.
Ross is trying to swoop in at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly. He's going way too fast, and B, he should have made the move in ninth grade.
But let's not forget they are 25 years old, and guys don't know their ass from a hot rock at 25.
It's true.
If they're in their 20s. So, you know, if that's really the case, these dudes aren't going to figure their shit out for another 10, 15 years, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I am in my life versus when I was 25. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a little stupidity is going to happen.
All right. I have a clip.
Well, he came in for a massage and everything was fine until.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Are you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And all of a sudden, his hands weren't the problem anymore.
Was it?
Oh, Boy Scouts could have camped under there.
Ooh, what?
Uma Thurman. Oh.
The actress.
Uma Thurman. Hi. Hi.
Thanks, bitch.
So what are you going
to
do?
You have to tell her. You have to tell her. It's your moral obligation as a friend, as a woman. I think it's a feminist issue. Guys? Guys?
Oh, yeah, you have to tell her.
Feminist issue. That's where I went.
She is going to hate me.
Yeah, well.
Ross is, like, just being kind of gross in this episode.
You know what's funny about Ross is another show that I've watched an episode. Maybe. I think one was Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross reminds me of Kramer.
Really?
Well, yeah. Mm. He's the Kramer of the show. Not quite as, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like someone stole from someone, or they just happened to write two characters that kind of,
mm-hmm.
Probably not even the same. That's who I relate to. I'm like, oh, this guy reminds me of that show. Mm. Was it the same time, those shows?
Seinfeld is a little older. Like, it started earlier and ended earlier. I know, like, the basics of Seinfeld. I'm not a big, like, I don't know Seinfeld like I know Friends at all.
Right.
So I will take your word for that.
I don't know. I'm probably talking about my ass, so don't. But that's who I think of when I think of Ross. I'm like, oh, he reminds me of a young Kramer.
Well, it's also, like, you know, especially in this sort of golden age of, like, sitcoms, there's only so many, like, you know, archetypes that work in sitcoms.
Right.
You know what I mean?
True.
So maybe they're just, like, that similar kind of type.
Maybe, yeah. It works, though.
Yeah. Yeah, formulas, you know, they work for a reason. I just wanted to say about that clip, Ross is, like, using feminism as a way to, like, get Phoebe to, like, tell Rachel, I don't know. I just thought it was gross.
It's supposed to be.
He's like, hey, feminist issue. Like, if you don't do this, you're not a feminist. And it's really all just selfish reasons because he wants to, like, swoop in and usher in the age of Ross.
I don't even know what that means when he said that.
Yeah, well, it's like
I was watching it going, what? Who? I mean, because maybe the backstory, but I had no idea.
Yeah, it's not a backstory thing. It's just he's just trying to manipulate her to do it.
He wants what he wants.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I do think that she should have told her. I don't think that was wrong. But I just didn't like how he sort of went about, like, pushing it in that way.
Guy thing. I mean, I'm sure some guys are gonna be like, no, dude, I don't do that. I'm like, okay, not all guys.
Yeah.
A lot of guys.
Yeah.
Everybody's selfish in their
own
way.
Gross.
Life is gross.
Yeah. So Ross is kind of gross in this episode for me. I'm glad that they realized in the scene that they should not be the ones who are sorry. Like when Rachel and Phoebe were, like, apologizing to each other, and they're like, wait, like, he's the asshole. Like, why are we sorry? You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad that they figured that out.
Maybe Phoebe, this is easy for me to say, but maybe when he was coming in for a massage, she should have just said no. Not that it was on her, but, like, maybe because I know, but I'd be like, why are you here? This is not going to work. I don't want to touch you. You're my friend's. I mean, I wouldn't. If you were my friend's girlfriend and you came in for a massage, I'd be like, no, sorry, dear. You're cool, but I'm not rubbing your body. I would just say no.
Mm.
But I'm also older. More wise.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
That doesn't make for good drama, though. Goodbye. See you later.
Yeah. I don't know.
Wouldn't you?
I don't think I would, because it's her job.
You would say yes?
Yeah, it's her job. It's not like a sexy massage with a happy ending. It's like this is my job. I'm a massage therapist. If you want to come in for a massage, that's what I do for a living. Like, yeah. She's thinking of, like, I'm a professional. This is what I do.
I get that, but I don't know. Again, maybe it's just because I know that I've seen the episode, so it's easy for me to say, no, you should have said no.
Mm-hmm. Hindsight.
Yeah, hindsight, you know. But I would feel weird, though. I definitely would feel weird rubbing someone else's better half. Regardless, man or woman, you know. I would feel weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That has nothing really to do with the episode. That's more about me, so it doesn't really help your show.
No, that's fine. We get personal on this show.
Yeah, I guess so.
We definitely do.
Yeah, rubbing strangers would be easier.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Now we know. Now we know.
Now we know. All of you are so curious.
So those are like the main three storylines, and then we have like the weird side story of Monica just has these lasagnas. So we don't really find out what she was making them for. She's on her phone to Aunt Syl at the top of the show, and she's like, oh yeah, you didn't tell me you needed vegetarian lasagnas, so I made 12 meat lasagnas, and I was only doing this as a favor to you. And so we're just to assume that there's some kind of event or gathering that Aunt Syl needs lasagnas for, and she was like doing it as a favor. It was interesting that she said, I'm not a caterer, because later in the show she does become a caterer.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so it was like a little foreshadowing.
What time of year is it? Maybe that would make sense why she's making them.
It's like January.
So this episode was January.
Yeah, maybe it's actually December. No. It's
Christmas, or
it's January, because the episode before this is New Year's episode.
And is she Italian? This character, like breaking them?
She's Jewish.
Is she Jewish Italian?
I don't know if she's Italian. I don't know if she's Jewish.
Okay. So that doesn't play into why she's cooking lasagna or not.
Well, I mean, she's a chef.
She's a chef on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that. She works at a restaurant. She's a chef, so she knows how to cook.
Oh, okay.
So I think that like her aunt was just like, hey, will you like cook for my like party or whatever? But didn't tell her she needed vegetarian whatever. So we don't really find anything else out about that, except that she has all these meat lasagnas that she has to get rid of. And so throughout the episode, she's just giving people lasagnas.
And it made it set up for a good ending with Paolo.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny. It's just random.
Right.
Any thoughts about the lasagnas?
I mean, I could think of a thousand questions, like, you know, maybe, you know, why she's cooking lasagna. And, you know, like you said, she is a chef, but she becomes a caterer. But I don't know. I just think it's a nice gag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just does that one thing that's everybody gets to eat it, because they're eating it when they go, Joey and Chandler.
Yeah.
They eat it, and Paolo gets some. And I don't know, we see anyone else eat it?
She gives it to Carol and Susan. We don't see them eat it.
Got it. So, yeah, she's just spreading the love.
Yeah.
Yep. Cheesy love.
I do love when Chandler and Joey, their table falls over, so they sit knee to knee in chairs and eat out of the same lasagna, like, you know, casserole dish.
Yes, very intimate.
While they're talking about if they're ready to go in on a table together or not. It's funny.
It's awesome.
I love that. Any final thoughts? Final thoughts for the people.
Well, like I said, I'd never seen it before. I definitely interest me in possibly watching more episodes, because I'm sure I can just binge watch, right?
Yeah, Netflix.
And get Netflix. Yeah, I have Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you know, why this show was so popular, because I just know so many people now and then that just talk about Friends and how much they like the show. I don't know why I didn't get into it, but I don't know. I can see I could get more into it now. And it doesn't seem too dated. Like, everything seems pretty, I mean, it's probably not up at times now, but it seems funny and real and great acting and great writing. So, yeah, I don't know. No other thoughts other than thanks for exposing me to it finally through a podcast. Whatever it takes. Now I'll probably start talking more people about it and say, hey, what do you think of Friends? Well, I have a friend that does a podcast about Friends.
Send them over.
Yeah, so maybe there's some like hardcore friend fanatic I know that can just tear up the show with you because I'm sure I wasn't really much help with it.
No, you were great. I love the fresh perspective, and I love birthing new Friends fans.
Yes, you're spreading the Friends the Friends epidemic.
Yes, yes. Cool. Do you have anything that you want people to like check out or follow? Anything you want to promote?
Oh, yeah, my photography. You can go to my website, haldenmorris.com, or you can go to my Instagram, haldenmorris, and check out some of my work.
His work is good, you guys. Check it out. It's pretty. He takes photos of really pretty people.
Yeah, it's not hard to shoot. I tell people this, and some photographers get mad. It's not difficult to photograph pretty people, technically, if that makes any sense. So it makes your job easier, whatever mm-hmm. pretty means to you, you know. But mm-hmm. there's a certain structure that the camera likes. That
mm-hmm. Symmetry.
Symmetry, the lights, mm-hmm. certain way. So I try not to take too much credit for my work.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun.
Yes, it was.
All right, guys, that's it for this episode of I Have No Friends. I'm Leandra Ryan, and remember, if a guy is talking to you about like a snap in his turtle, just run in the other direction. Thanks for listening to I Have No Friends. If you like what you hear, please rate, subscribe, and share it with your friends. If you have feedback, ideas, or suggestions, you can email me at ihavenofriendspodcast@gmail.com. And you can find all my social media handles on my website, leandraryan.com. Looking forward to making some friends.